You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Hey, it's Marianne Lee, and you're listening to 95BFM.
You're not budget Olivia Rodrigo, really.
Nah, well, you know, my friend the other day said she's budget Marianne Lee, and I thought that was quite nice. Quite
funny.
It's
a trend. It's catching on. Marianne Lee, how are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. Thanks for coming up here.
Thank you for having me. It's my first time on 95BFM, and I'm so excited about it.
That's crazy that you haven't been up here before.
I've wanted to for years.
Well,
and
now
I'm
here.
Finally here.
Now
so,
you're here.
Yay!
It's very exciting. You're on tour at the moment. That's why you're here in Tamaki Makaurau. You've been up and down the country.
Yeah.
How's it been so far?
Tour's been amazing. You know, there's always a risk when you go out on the road that no one will come to your show, but people have been coming to my shows, and so that's really nice of them. And in Napier, we actually sold out. So I'm feeling very grateful at the moment.
Awesome. And just so we get the bulk, not the bulk, the meat of this interview done and out the way, you're performing this Thursday at Wine Cellar, which is a sick venue, by the way.
Yeah,
love Wine Cellar.
I am. I'm performing this Thursday at the Wine Cellar, and I'm so excited about it. We've got two other bands playing as well, Back to the Hillside and Wednesday's Girlfriend. And everyone listening to this interview has to come. Like, it's actually in the terms and conditions. You just have to come now.
Yeah,
so.
Go buy tickets.
Trapped.
Should have read them.
Yeah.
And you've also got some local bands opening for you as well, which is awesome as well.
Yeah, these bands have actually opened for quite a few of my shows in the past. I love, you know, this past year, 2023, has been such a year of growth for me as a musician, and I think you can easily kind of not work with the people you've worked with in the past, but I, you know, maybe when you meet new people, meet new bands, you can be like, nah, I'm gonna have a totally different lineup. But these two bands have been with me like throughout my entire career. One of the bands is run by my brother, my big brother, who inspired me to songwrite. So these people are so incredibly talented. I love to work with them, and I'm very excited that we get to do another show together.
How was your 2023? You released one single, which I understand is also part of a bigger project. But yeah, you released I Don't Care. Tell me about the track and yeah, the process of writing it.
2023 was amazing. Like, you know, every year I say, wow, that was an amazing year for music. I hope next year's okay. And it just kind of keeps getting better and better. So 2023 was one of the best years I've had yet. And I released a song called I Don't Care. And I wrote that song on a Friday night when I was feeling just FOMO, like feeling really, can I swear on
here?
I'm feeling really shit. And and I just, yeah, I wanted to write a song about like just like being toxic and like being jealous and like feeling like possessive and crazy and dumb and all those emotions that we don't like to feel. And like, I just put it into a song, and it ended up being one of my favorite songs I've ever written. So I was really excited to finally put it out this past year. And as I mentioned to you before we started our interview, I've been recording a lot lately, and there's definitely something in the works, and there's definitely stuff coming out this year. So I'm super excited to continue that chapter.
Yeah, that's a very healthy way of dealing with things. That's not toxic at all.
There are so, well, you know, maybe songwriting is like the last thing I do after I cope. I've been trying to cope with something, but you know, I feel like songwriters and people that create are like the most mentally unwell people. And you probably like know this. You've probably interviewed like a lot of people, and they talk about like how songwriting is so cathartic and so helpful. And yeah, I just feel like I have so many things to say and ideas and thoughts running around. I have to get it down on paper. So I'm glad that people like it.
Take me back to summer's world. All we had to do was forget, but I came with you, 'cause you got other girls on your mind. I was just there to pass the time, but I can't help myself.
To your year, were there any challenges that you faced? You are an independent artist right now. You've come back from London. Also, how was that experience for you?
London was incredible. It was a childhood dream of mine to go to the other side of the world and check out what the music industry is like over there. I think my biggest challenge was just doing it, like just going overseas and overcoming the fear and like, you know, the what ifs. And it was incredible, just the music and the opportunities and the busyness of the city. Coming from Auckland and having always lived in Auckland, like it was just, it felt very much like Taylor Swift's You're on Your Own Kid. That song is like a song that I absolutely streamed when I was over there. But yeah, it was just very much coming of age and exciting, and I can't wait to go back.
And yeah, what were some challenges that you faced as a musician over there, moving back over here?
I was really nervous about kind of, you know, what I know what my sound is like in New Zealand. Like, I know how audiences respond to it. What are people going to think of some random Kiwi girl going over to the other side of the world where the music industry is so filled already with talent? What have I got to say that's different? But I was pleasantly surprised by how inviting people were and how much people just love music and are excited to hear new stuff. So I remember like my first week there, I played like 3 open mic nights, was just going all around London, trying to discover the city and understand how it worked, understand what the tube is, how to use the tube, like try not get lost. It was just a lot of like culture shocks. And I think my first culture shock was the fact that like people, like they don't smile. Like ever.
I've heard that
and people, like, I think I asked, oh my god, I remember
I thought this was a joke. I didn't actually think
like it's so real. People just are like sad all the time, I think, maybe. But but I remember like my first interaction with like an English person was when I had just gotten off the flight and I had just landed and I was feeling like so many different things. And I needed to get an Uber to my house and I realized I don't have data, like I don't even have a phone plan. I've just turned 20. I don't know how to get around by myself. I need to get an Uber. So I go up to this lady that looks nice and I say, hey, I'm really sorry. Do you mind like hotspotting me your data? Like there's no Wi-Fi and I like need to order an Uber. And she was like, are you scamming me? Are you trying to scam me right now? And she was like getting angry at me. And I was like, oh my God, is this what English people are like? Like, I'm afraid. So I think alongside being a musician, trying to fit in a whole new place, it was also like a moment of being like, going from teenagehood to like adulthood and like surviving on my own in the world.
I want to chat about your sound. How would you describe your style, your sound? How would you describe Marianne Lee?
You know, I always say I'm a budget Olivia Rodrigo, and we talked about it a bit earlier. I am an indie pop singer-songwriter, kind of pop rock. And I started off as an acoustic musician that was so inspired by country Taylor Swift. And I kind of, you know, from when I first started songwriting at age 12 to now, like I've just been developing my sound and going more into like a pop rock sound, a pop rock direction, which you'll hear on Thursday night at the Wine Cellar. So it's just angsty female rage, feminine rage, I'd say.
Us. saw two lovers walking the street today. The way they looked at each other had me looking the other way. And it was kind of funny, 'cause I remember clearly the way you looked at me. And I looked at her with jealousy.
Evolving is really interesting. Tell me about that. How have you changed over time from when you first started writing? Obviously, you've gotten a little bit more angsty. Is there anything else that you think that that's changed ever since you first started music to now?
I feel like as I've gotten older and as I've developed my music, I've just become a lot more open to trying new things. Like, for some reason, when I was 12, I was like a 40-year-old mum as a 12-year-old. Like, I didn't even know what was going on, but I was just so like, no, I have to sound like this, and I have to do this, and I have to wear these things, and I can't be different. And I don't know, I feel like getting older, you're just like, who knows what's going to happen? I'm going to write this song this day because I want to, and a different kind of song the next day, and experiment. So I think the biggest change is just like being open, wanting to experiment, wanting to... yeah, just have fun, more fun with music and not be so serious all the time.
You probably got this question a lot, but your inspirations.
Yeah.
This show about them.
I am so inspired by Olivia Rodrigo, of course. But
She's great, though.
She's amazing. So she's amazing. I just feel like I mentioned her so much. People are like, okay, and who else? Yeah, recently I've been really loving this artist called Tristan. I just found her on TikTok, and she's just like a girl in America slaying it up. She's like an independent artist. Love Tristan. I love Lizzie McAlpine. I love Maisie Peters so much. Conan Gray. Sabrina Carpenter is like my favorite. She writes my favorite gym bops. Listen to her while you're squatting. You'll work so much harder. Yeah, that's my inspiration.
It's a good lineup of people you follow, and TikTok is such a good tool nowadays for getting your name out there, although it's hard. Like, I have to admit, it's a struggle putting yourself out there, and it almost feels like you don't deserve to be doing it. At least that's what I've found, even just like promoing a radio show.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on that?
I started doing TikTok when I was like 17, I think. So literally for so long. And I remember the first thing I ever said about it, like promoting myself, was saying, "Lost all my dignity, follow me on TikTok." Because I feel like we have this thing in New Zealand, and I think people have said it the same thing about it in Australia, but just tall poppy syndrome. Like, we don't want to,
we
don't want to be like, hey, I'm really good at this thing and I want to show you guys. We don't want to like make ourselves, like promote ourselves sometimes. And it's hard. It's hard to break out of that. But I don't know. I just kind of figured, you know, if I don't use this tool, like, how am I going to promote my music? And it's just, music is more important to me than kind of dealing with feeling embarrassed. Does that make sense? Yes, maybe. You know what I mean. And I just feel like I might cringe after I post something, but at least it's out there and at least someone who cares will find it. You know, it's worth feeling cringe.
Yeah, cringe is very overrated.
Right. Let's cancel cringe.
Cancel cringe?
I'm team cancel cringe. Or Taylor Swift said something in her Vogue, I think it was Vogue interview recently, or Time magazine interview. She said, like, don't kill the part of you that cringes, or don't kill what makes you... what did she say? She said, kill the part of you that cringes, not the cringe. Like, don't kill your talent and what inspires you and the silly things you do. Just cringe at the fact that you... cringe.
It's only cringe if you think it's cringe.
Yes, there you go, you said it.
It's only, yeah, if you don't think it's cringe, it's fine.
Yeah,
so then so what are you about?
Team cancel cringe.
Yeah,
I'm done with cringing.
So yeah, just post that, make that Instagram post right? It on TikTok. It's the only way people are going to see you. It's
exactly
important. Should we talk about Taylor Swift?
She's keen.
What's your go-to? What's your favorite Taylor Swift? Let's say Taylor Swift era. I know that Radio Ooh. 1 chatted to you about this because I listened to your chat with them
and
briefly talked about eras, right? But me and the bros have had this conversation too. What's their favorite Taylor Swift era, album, what have you? I'll get yours first though.
Wow, era? Like, right now I'm really in my Midnights era. Because I feel like it's 1989, but just like more developed. But I will always love Fearless because it's her like discovering her sound and kind of coming to the public eye for the first time and just like being a musician. And I really relate to that time in her life. So that's my soundtrack at the moment.
I was always a fan of her really early stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Massively. Tim McGraw was one of my favorite tracks of hers for a while.
Oh my god, I love her early stuff. I feel like no one listens to it anymore, but I loved her early stuff, especially just like the whole debut album. And I think that really inspired me when I was younger. And I think at the time I thought, oh, I can only do music if I sound just like Taylor Swift. And then it took me some time, right?
Never,
right?
Never.
But that doesn't make sense when you're 12. You're like, nah, I have to be Taylor Swift. But yeah, that took me some time to break out of and be like, nah, I can be my own musician. I can have my own sound, you know?
I know that I'm yours. But there's something about it that makes me unsure. I see past those doe-eyed brown eyes. I see past backseat laughing as we drive. I see her watching. I'm just a mess and there's no one else. Go drive her home, you're both alone. Do you have any idea what it feels like up here? Possessive in my name, a list of girls burned in the back of my brain. Tell everyone, tell everyone.
You also have a track called Crazy Girlfriend, and I mean, self-explanatory. What yeah. It's about. And I'm guessing that's also going to be part of your EP, which is you're working on at the moment.
Yeah, so Crazy Girlfriend is, it was kind of the first song that I wrote in like this angsty new era, like pop rock era. For the longest time, I felt like I could only write singer-songwriter tracks, like acoustic slow tracks, and I felt like I can't do upbeat songs because I love writing like moody songs, but you know, people only want happy songs, and I was just really stuck creatively. And I feel like Crazy Girlfriend kind of broke me out of a creative rut, and it's such a fun song to sing live. I'm singing it on Thursday at the Wine Cellar as well, and it's a song about like feeling jealous and hating the fact that you feel jealous and hating the fact that like you're in your own head and feeling like you're this crazy person. And it's like, well, maybe I am a bit crazy actually. And yeah, I love leaning into that character, and it's inspired me to write a lot more songs like that. So I'm very excited for what's to come and for people to hear what I've been working on. Like I was working on a track today that I'm super excited about. So yeah, I can't wait for it to be out in the world.
The last artist I talked to, I asked them this exact question: what are your thoughts on writing love songs? Do you think do you get sick of them, or are you just someone that's like, yo, I'm all about love songs?
Do you mean like happy love songs or just songs about like romantic partners?
Romantic partners.
Okay. I mean, I don't know. Like, I'm such a romantic, like myself, like just me as a person, I'm such a romantic, and I love songs about heartbreak, which is just so random. Like whether I'm in love or distraught or whatever, like I will always love a good sad song. And that used to be like, for me, that used to mean like, you know, Taylor Swift's Last Kiss or like just a really sad, slow song. But recently it's meant like, nah, like fun songs about being like, fuck, I broke my own heart and like, I'm crazy, I'm jealous. And I think it's just really fun to play on those emotions and like write about them. So love songs are a yes for me, or like songs about love are a yes for me.
Follow-up question: do we hear enough happy love songs? Are there like, enough?
In my music?
Anyone's music. Because I feel like I'll have some tunes queued up that I feel like would match the vibe of your tunes as well. I can play some after this, but and I would class them as like happy love songs. Mm-hmm. Or love songs that have positive connotations, like the feeling of you're nervous or like you don't know what they're gonna think, or like being open about that insecurity that comes along with it. I hear so many heartbreak songs nowadays, and it's understandable why they're so popular, right? It's such a healthy way of dealing with it, and I mean, in my opinion, music does cure all, not entirely, but partially.
Yeah.
But yeah, do we hear enough happy love songs? Do artists need to start writing more happy love songs?
I feel like we don't hear enough of them, to be honest. Like, I'm thinking about it now. I don't know the last happy love song that I've heard, like a new one. I can't think of one at the moment. But also, like, maybe people don't need happy love songs as much as they need like a good like heartbreak song. I feel like it's just when you're in love, especially as a songwriter, like when you're in love, you kind of don't feel the need to like, well, for me anyway, like I don't feel the need to be like, oh my god, like I'm so in love, like I'm gonna write a song about it. I'm more kind of like just happy living in the moment. But like when you're heartbroken, you're like, I'm so sad and I have so much time by myself, I can write a song about it, you know? So maybe that's why we don't have enough of them.
True. Yeah. Last question. What can we expect from you this year? We mentioned an EP. You have a gig this Thursday, which everyone has to go see. We explained it earlier. Terms and conditions. Should have read them before accepting them. What can we expect from Marianne Lee?
Well, so I've got a brand new project out this year, and I'm going back to London. So all my UK friends who are wondering where I've gone, well, I'm coming back.
You didn't tell them?
I just left. Nah. Yeah, so I'm coming back to London and I can't wait. There are going to be a lot of shows. I've got a show in Wellington coming up in about a week. I'm going over there. Then I've got a show in Tauranga, and then I'm off overseas. So I think this year is going to be a lot of growth, a lot of new music, a lot of shows, and just stick with me for the ride because, like, I have no idea. And I guess we'll just find out what's going to happen.
Just find out. Awesome. Sweet. Well, thank you, Marianne.
Thank you so much for having me. This was really fun.
It's all good.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.